What's up, everybody? Hope you've all been well. Thanks for tuning in to another JDB podcast. All right, what I want to talk about in this episode are a few different things. Number one, the new factor. Number two, why performance enhancement is not the end-all be-all in the ultimate look of your physique. And I want to talk, number three, about Primobolan Depot Explained. My perspective on Primobolan Depot, why I love it so much, what's different about it from other performance-enhancing drugs, and what are some of the benefits, maybe what are some of the negatives, and who is it for? Who would it be most beneficial for? So let's start with number one. I want to talk about the new factor. You know, when I look back on everything that I've done in the gym over the past, I'd say, about 25 years, I can't help but think about how every time something new was introduced that I hadn't been doing, something different, that's when I got the most results. So let's take it back to when you just started working out. You got good results because it was new. You were not working your chest. You were not working your arms directly or your back directly or your shoulders. And some of these exercises really weren't targeting certain areas. You didn't realize, like, maybe a lateral pull down was targeting your back. You might have felt it more in your arms, you know, because you used your arms more than your back. So it seemed to me like whatever muscles you most commonly used were the muscles that wanted to take over or take the brunt of the work. And even like stuff like pull-ups, I might feel it a little bit in my shoulders, or, you know, push-ups, I feel a lot in my shoulders. You know, it's just different. A lot of people, it just depends on where their genetic strong points are. And where they feel certain exercises. And you know, you think to yourself, well, how can this be working? And then after you get used to it and you start getting more familiar with making those muscles work, you start to feel it more and then you grow, right? Because it's new. So that's like the very start of it all. And then you say, hey, I'm going to start eating more protein. I'm going to up my calories. Or maybe you're someone that's trying to lose body fat. I'm going to decrease my calories. That's something new. If you've never dieted before, and I use the term dieting as in gaining mass or losing fat, one or the other, or maybe both, which is much easier to do when you're new, it's new, all right? So it's a huge change, and you get results. So one of the problems with guys in the gym over the years is we stop getting into what's new, because there's only so many different things that are new before it all becomes old, okay? And another problem is we start to favor certain things. We start to like certain things. I like the feeling of lifting weights more than I like the feeling of doing cardio. You know, sometimes you do cardio, you can kind of feel like a hamster on the wheel there. You feel like you're maybe wasting your time, or you feel like it's taking away from more time that you could be in the gym lifting weights rather than doing cardio. Some people are the opposite. Some people, they don't like lifting weights as much, and all they want to do is cardio. Maybe they like that endorphin release or that runner's high or what have you, which in it, I'll admit, it does feel good. But it was always kind of hard for me to go from one mindset to another in the same time frame like I was in there, you know? But I had to learn to love what I hated. And I think one of the things about learning to, I guess you don't necessarily have to love it. You have to become 100% engaged in it, right? So if you're going to do cardio, you're going to do cardio. You got to get that other shit out of your head. You can't be saying, oh, well, this is taken away from this, and this is taken away from that. And, you know, at least I do anyway. I got to say, all right, it's cardio, and I'm going to give it, you know, 100% on cardio. And 100% is either an intensity goal or a time goal or both. One thing that I recently started doing lately is I extended the amount of time I was doing cardio. And I know this might contradict some of the stuff that I've talked about in the past, where I've talked about, you know, if you're not sweating your ass off doing cardio, you're wasting your time and this and that. Well, I do sweat my ass off in due time when I do this. But lately, it's been more for the purpose of just get moving. Make your body move. Because one of the problems that I was having is I was burning my candle at both ends. So I was doing like a really, really hard workout, and then I was doing like a really, really hard cardio session, and I would just become so overtired. My recovery abilities, they're not really quite what they once were. So essentially what would happen is I would do this for a few days, and then I would just crash. You know, one day would hit, and I'd just be like, nah, I don't want to do that today. or I need to take a day off today. And I had to find a way to stay more consistent and try to get cardio in on the majority of days, because like where 3 days a week back in the day was good for cardio to lose fat and getting like competition lean body fat, it's not anymore. I need to do like 5 or 6. So this was new to me. I said, I'm going to bring my cardio to between 40 minutes and an hour. Okay. Most days is 40 minutes, but here and there, if I go over calories a little bit, then I'll like do an hour. So the whole point of this is to just keep moving. Just keep moving. I used to do the Stairmaster on like a level 7. And when I started doing cardio like this, I did it on a level 4, but I did it for longer. Probably burned the same amount of calories, but the point to what I'm telling you guys is it was manageable. It seemed more manageable. It didn't kick the shit out of me quite as bad. Even if I did burn the same amount of calories, it just didn't seem as taxing on my system as a whole. You follow me? So that was a new factor. Bringing that cardio to, say, 5 or 6 days a week. I don't know. Most days is, or most weeks is 5. Some weeks, I guess, it's 6. That's a new factor. Because in the past, it was always 3 days a week. So in turn, what happened? I started looking better. Funny enough, I started looking better and I would get on the scale and I might only have been down a pound or two or whatever. Maybe some days I weighed the same thing, but totally different look than before I started, you know, all this cardio and the diet. And I'm always on some kind of diet, but there's times where it's, you know, harder than others, or I'm more hard on it than I am other times, because the journey never ends, man. I mean, nobody's just going to like competition diet till they die. It's probably not even healthy to do that. So, but I'd say like compared to the average Joe, yeah, I mean, I'm always like eating much, much better than somebody that's really not involved in this, or not involved in this to the degree that I am. So, but anyway, so the cardio is a new factor. But what I'm telling you guys is I have to 100% engage myself in the specific activity that I'm doing. And this was always a mind fuck for me. I would always be like, oh, well, you know, I got to cut the workout short and I got to do this damn cardio, and I'm doing my cardio, I'm thinking about the stuff I want to do lifting wise because I like that more. And you know what I'm saying? So like, so let's say I was doing like a split where I might have done like arms and shoulders one day, and then maybe it was like chest and back on another day, or what have you, you know, any kind of split like that. I got to a point where I said, listen, if something in this split is becoming too much and it's derailing me from the new factor would be the additional cardio, the slightly longer cardio sessions. The consistency in the cardio was a bigger new factor than the weight room. I mean, love it or hate it, it was. So what I mean by this is you take the workouts, for example, okay? Let's say you go to the gym today and you work your chest, all right? And then a week from now, you go back to the gym and you work your chest. Let's say you've been in the gym, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years plus. Is your workout going to be that much different next week as opposed to today? Probably not. Probably not. You might feel a little bit more on it, maybe a little more energetic here or there, maybe a little less, but the work weights are going to be close to the same, all right? You might go up 5 pounds here, might even be less, might be 5-10 pounds less. You might go up one rep there, or maybe less, but it's not different enough that there's a new factor involved. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes, you know, like I said before, this is bodybuilding. It's all about taking 2 steps back to take another leap forward. And by taking 2 steps back to allow for that new factor to take place is taking that giant leap forward. That's the way you got to think about this shit. What's the new factor? If someone's been doing, you know, singles, doubles, and triples, and they've been powerlifting for a long time, the new factor would be up your fucking reps. If someone's been doing a ton of reps for a long time, then the new factor would be train a little bit heavier, lower your reps, or train with more time under tension. And that's why I love time under tension, because there's a ton of new factors with time under tension. You could do a slower negative. You could do a slower positive. You can do a static hold. You can do shorter rest times. There's a whole bunch of different new factors. So like, you know, every week or every month, you could throw in a new factor. Say, hey, you know, instead of doing the reps quite as slow, I'm going to do a more pumping fashion style set, but I'm only going to rest 20 seconds between sets or something like that. That would be a new factor. Still time under tension. The muscles don't have long to rest or under tension. That's really what I mean by the new factor. But back to what I was saying about the split. If I had to say, you know what, in order to introduce this new factor and to make it realistic and not be in the gym for 3 fucking hours, I got to curtail, I got to shorten the weight training. It's not about what you like to do the most. It's about what gets you the most results. So the new factor would be what gets me the most results. In this instance, the example I'm giving you is the addition of cardio. So if that split wasn't realistic for me to do, then it's not benefiting me as much to say maybe isolating a single muscle group per day. Or like, let's say instead of shoulders and arms, we do arms, buys and tries one day. You know, the next day might be shoulders, next day's back. Each muscle group has its own day, but it maybe shortens the workout to, let's say, 30 minutes or 40 minutes as opposed to an hour and 20 or whatever, and allows me to get more time on that cardio equipment and make that new factor realistic. So that's what I mean. The new factor is there with the diet. It's there with the training. It's there with the rest and recovery. It's there with the gear. There's always a new factor. There's always an element that you can change. And those things that you change, I believe, are what provides the best results, even more so than gear. Let's say this week you've been going, you know, low carb. You've eaten a little bit more fats, healthy fats. Maybe you've eaten ribeye steaks as opposed to like sirloin or a London broil or shoulder or something leaner. So let's say, you know, you've had about, you know, 120, 150 grams of fat a day, maybe more. Some people do more, like 200 to 250. And the carbs have been kind of low. Well, maybe you've been doing that for a while. The new factor in this case would be drop the fats, go moderate with the carbs, and do that for a little while and see what happens in the mirror. That's the new factor. And I guarantee you, most people would see major changes in a short amount of time. I mean, drastic changes, just because it's something different. The body's like, whoa, whoa, you know, we're not used to this shit. Or vice versa. You know, I'm not a carb deprivation guy. I believe in lowering them as you get in better shape to continue to push the envelope, depending on how much you can stand and how far you can take it. And there's only a certain level that most people can realistically stand before it kind of fucks with life. A lot of people, I'm just going to be honest with you guys, you're not going to do this shit to the degree or the level that I'm going to do this shit, because I've made it my life. And I'm not a well-rounded guy. I'll admit that right now. I believe in doing few things, but becoming a master of my craft and doing those few things well. I'm not a crazy well-rounded guy. I don't believe in doing 100 different things half-assed and never really being 100% any one of them. And, you know, people say, well, that kind of thing enhances your life, moderation with everything. I think that kind of shit makes you an average motherfucker. That's just my opinion. And if I wasn't supposed to be doing what I'm doing, then why would I want to do it so much? You know, don't let people guilt you into what you love doing, okay? You don't need to fit society's mold of what the perfect little well-rounded person needs to be. Number two, I want to talk about why performance enhancement is not the end-all be-all. All right, and I'm going to give you just the number one basic reason is because it's not forever. It's not forever, and if you make it forever, you can have health issues, you can have an early demise. We've seen a lot of guys lately dropping like flies. Some of them, you know, who's to say they didn't have genetic pre-existing conditions or ailments to begin with, but some of them, you know, yeah, I'm sure the gear didn't help. And the years of stress and punishment on the body from the gear didn't help. Gear puts stress and punishment on the body. Gear makes you tired. You're tired because your body is under an unnatural means of stress. When you place your body under an unnatural means of stress for long or prolonged periods of time, that's what happens. That's why we see bodybuilders, you know, that are 30 years old and their face, they look like they're an old man. It'll stress you. It will. And I don't care what the hell you're taking. I don't care if you're taking DNP for fat loss, which you're an idiot if you take that. It's just my opinion on it. I think the shit's poison for your body. Don't ever do it. But, okay, I'm losing gobs of fat, man. But it's not going to be forever. So when you get off something like that, what happens? As soon as you go back to eating normal or bringing your calories back up, you put right back on what the hell you lost. The difference is the damage has been done. So the damage has been done and the results are now gone. So where's the plus plus in that? There's not. Trenbolone. Tren is harsh in the body. It's very harsh on your lipids. It's harsh on your kidneys. Somebody could run Tren for, like, I have a friend, he ran Tren for, stupidly ran it for 25, 26 weeks straight. Had all kinds of issues when he went to the doctor for labs. All kinds of issues. His doctor was like, you need to get the fuck off this shit now, or you're going to kill yourself. And you know what happened? He got off it, and he's behind the eight ball. Because now his body's trying to repair itself, and a few months went by, and guess what? He looked the same. He went right back to where he was before he ever did it. The difference is the damage is done, the results are gone. So, again, where's the win-win? There is none. So that's why the training and the nutrition is number one. It hails king in any event. It's number one. I don't care what it is you do. You could do heavy orals. You could do, 100 milligrams a day of A-bombs, 50, 75 milligrams a day of D-ball. And you're strong as an ox. Everywhere you go, oh, my God, man. That guy's getting huge. What are you on? What are you on? Muscles are full of water. Look like you're going to burst. Pumped up. But now your liver's shot. Now you come off it. Now you lose all that fluid, and the damage is done. Okay? So when this pattern or these cycles repeat themselves again and again and again and again, the damage is done here. The damage is done there. The damage is done. And a lot of us, we get to the point where we get on TRT, but then TRT becomes an excuse to just stay on cycle forever. Oh, but I'm only using this and this, and I'm only using a little bit. Or guys that like to, I hate this fucking term, cruise. Cruise is like saying, I don't know what the fuck I want. Yeah, I don't want to go on TRT, but I don't want to lose my gains. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Let me just hear my thumb up my ass. I'm going on a cruise. And they'll take like a SARM in between the cycle to try to just keep whatever the hell it is I can keep, which, I don't think you can compare the two. I'm sorry. SARMs are not steroids. They're not. Do they work? Yeah. Do they work as good? No. And they cause liver damage. They do. SARMs can fuck your liver up all the way to hell and back. So again, you're taking something in a lot of guys' minds. They're thinking, hey, this is a safer alternative. I'm not on cycle. Yes, you are, motherfucker. Yes, you are. The inevitable is going to happen. You're going to need TRT. That's why I take that stance that if you're opposed to the idea of TRT, don't use gear at all. Don't, because you're going to be behind the eight ball. Depending on your lifestyle or your financial circumstances or your career, health insurance, whatnot, you may not be able to safely get on TRT or to get the labs done. And then it's like, something happens. Next thing you know, you're putting out a fucking GoFundMe page because you didn't take responsibility for your own health. And now you want everybody to feel bad for you. Blah, 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 blah. Don't get me wrong. I think GoFundMe is a good idea for certain things. But I don't believe that GoFundMe is for everybody. If you just didn't give a shit and then all of a sudden you had a problem and I expect the world to give a shit about you because you didn't, take responsibility for your own health, that's on you, bro. All right. I hope you pull through, but you're kind of a dumb fuck. So this is the reason that performance enhancement is not the biggest factor in what you look like. Is it just by chance that all the biggest guys, all these pro bodybuilders or top amateurs are always eating? They're always eating. Funny. The guys that are proclaimed to use the most gear are yet the ones that are most disciplined with their diets. Those are the guys at the expos and seminars that will take the time to go behind the curtain, pull out the Tupperware container, get their meal because it means that much to them, and they put in the fucking work, man. They put in the damn work. So no, performance enhancement is not the biggest determining factor. It's work, it's discipline, it's nutrition. Performance enhancement is the icing on the cake. If everything else is there, it doesn't do shit if those other elements are not there. That's why some of the people that are in the game for the long haul have been in the game for the long haul. I believe the ones that are the drug physiques, I don't think that they're like kind of like a flash in a pan. because it's impossible to be in 100% drug physique with any sort of, prolonged career journey in bodybuilding. It doesn't happen. The health ailments take over. When I put together a cycle, I don't really think of it like, this is it, man. This is what's going to do it. It's secondary on the list to me behind nutrition and hard training. It's never number one. And I stopped making as big of a deal out of it as I used to. Like, I used to say, oh, man, I get out like a piece of paper and a pencil or something, and I write down everything I was going to do, man. I'm going to do this, and then week 5 through 8, I'm going to come in with that, and then towards the end, I'm going to try to cut up with this and that. And I was racking my brain over nothing. I was racking my brain over something that was going to kind of diminish, because all good things come to an end, or you're going to come to an end. So what the fuck did it matter? I would have just been better off saying, hey, you know what? Run these two things and bust your ass, and whatever happens, happens, and be happy with it, you know? Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that don't agree with me, okay? Don't get me wrong. There's just certain things I don't touch anymore. But I don't think it takes as much. And I was never a big dosage guy. Don't get me wrong. Like, I was never 90% of my cycles were the old school under 1 gram a week total gear rule. Okay. If I was doing, 300 or 400 milligrams a week of test, I might've been doing 300 or 400 milligrams a week of DECA. If I was doing 500 milligrams a week of EQ, maybe I was doing 500 milligrams a week of test or whatever. I never really went over a gram, and the best I ever looked as a whole between size and just being cut like a fucking Ginzu knife, man, was off 900 milligrams a week total. And I had a couple times in the past where I'd gotten up around 2 grams a week. Didn't look any better. Really didn't look any damn bigger. The biggest I was, I'll tell you how I got there. I was eating my ass off. I was force feeding myself. That's how I got to that size. It wasn't gear. So, guys, if you're one of these people that is just like constantly tossing ideas up in the air, they're racking their brain, they don't know what they want to do, it takes them 2 or 3 weeks to figure out what the hell they want to run, and everything has to be just right, you know, the sun and moon and stars have to be in a perfect alignment, just drop it. Drop that mentality. Because eventually, like I said, any results that you get extra, added on to the hard work and the nutrition, they're going to diminish when you discontinue it. And if you don't discontinue it and you stay on those amounts forever, you're going to have problems. And without health, there is no bodybuilding. So what is the fucking point? What is the point of putting the drugs so high on your list? Stop putting the fucking drugs as number one. And a lot of guys are doing this now. And one of the issues that I have is I see a lot of kids that are, teenagers, maybe early 20s. They're not even fully fucking developed. Like, they haven't even built their base yet. And they might be like, 160 pounds soaking wet, shredded to shit. But they're running a lot of fucking gear to do it. And they're still small. They're fucking small, man. And it's like, all right, I don't see this person staying involved in this for years or decades. I just don't see it. I see this person doing something that's going to cause them a lot of fucking damage that they don't know because they're not educated enough and they don't have the experience yet. And a lot of these guys, unfortunately, are going to be the guys that, like, by the time they're in their mid-20s and they could be having kids or families or whatever, they're going to be fucking depressed, debating suicide, can't knock a girl up, can't get a Woody, need TRT, don't have the means to do it, don't have the finances, it's just bad news, man. So you just can't, even if it means you run less, okay? Even if it means that, like, instead of doing 500 milligrams of test for a cycle, you do 200 or 300. You're better off, like right now, as God is my witness, I'm telling you guys the truth, all right? Swear on my family's life. Most of my cycles after 25 years in the gym or after 20 years of gear, are TRT and one other compound as a sidekick. Serious as a heart attack. And normally it's a compound that I can take higher than test without the negatives. I know what I can get away with, and I know what compounds work. Which brings me to the last topic of discussion is Primobolan Depot. Methanolone enanthates. I'm sure you guys have gathered now by listening to some of my past podcasts or reading some of my articles. I fucking love Primo. I would use it every cycle if I could. And I'm going to tell you why I love Primo. All right, let me explain it, because a lot of people don't think that this drug's worth the shit. It's not going to be as beneficial if you're not already at a certain level of development or experience, because it's a recomp drug. It proves itself the best in the recomp category or when you're dieting, okay? So when you're new, it is a very expensive, possibly a waste of money, because you don't really understand how it works. You're looking for something to accelerate your size gains, to accelerate your strength. It doesn't work like that. It's a whole different animal. What it does is it's the number one thing you could take in the nutrient partitioning department, meaning that your body goes further on less calories. You retain more muscle in a fat loss state. So what that means is the recomp effect is greater, all right? It's not as hard on your lipids. I've had labs done, 2 weeks after I've come off it. I've had labs done after I've been on it for 12 or 15 weeks at 600 milligrams a week, sometimes 700. It doesn't throw things off that bad. It's very mild. It is a feel-good drug. I got to the point with cycling that a lot of the things I was using in certain amounts or just certain compounds in general, I didn't feel good on them. And I said, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this if I'm going to the gym and I'm not really feeling good? And by feeling good, I just mean like that feeling when your test is just at the right amount, you know? Like, it's not enough to make you lethargic. It's not throwing your estrogen through the roof, making you feel kind of crappy, but you feel like just damn Superman. You're like high on life, okay? That's Primo in the right amount. Now, I have used more than 700 a week of Primo on a couple occasions, and I really found it of no more benefit than 600 or 700 a week. That's my sweet spot, is 600 or 700 a week. But again, because I like to get the most out of as little as possible, and it can be a costly compound. It can. I like to pyramid it. All right. A lot of guys say, nah, pyramid's a waste. You know, we just go the same dose throughout the whole cycle, then just do PCT or whatever, or revert back to TRT, whichever one you do. I like to pyramid Primo. I find pyramiding Primo highly beneficial. So, like, you can start like 400. I usually do it in 4 week blocks. Start like 400 for the first 4 weeks. Then maybe 500 for the next four, 600 for the next four. If you go beyond that, maybe 700 for the next four. Maybe you run it 16 weeks, 20 weeks, or whatnot, depending on what you want to do, what you can afford, and, of course, the labs. The labs dictate the cycles. At this point, for me, and if you're on TRT, they should do that for you, too. The labs dictate the cycles. Your health markers dictate the cycles. There's no more, oh, time on equals time off, not counting PCT. I'm actually motioning like I'm jerking my dick right now. You guys just can't see that. But Primo shines in the recomp department. And I didn't really realize this until it was like the first time I ever used it. I was actually taking a little more time off the gym, letting my body recover a little bit more. And I didn't really see anything for like the first month. Then all of a sudden, you know, I start getting all these compliments just out of fucking nowhere. It was like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, you're changing every week. And you know, I'm like, well, I didn't really see it, but no, now that you mention it, I might start looking in the mirror more. And then where I really found it beneficial is I was getting better on a regular basis, and I was getting better longer. The longer I was on it, the better I was getting. So unlike most gear that plateaus out or burns out at like week 6 or week 8, Primo's just getting the party started. And once you pass like that 6 week mark, you just see yourself getting better every fucking week. And it's a perfect drug to pair up with like something like, let's say, Anavar. I'm trying to think of what else. I would stack, sometimes I would go just like 1C a deca a week. Not a lot of deca, just like maybe 200 a week. Just kind of get that little additional pump. Deca kind of provides a little more fullness in the muscles, and that complemented it well. You know, not enough DECA that it would cause like noticeable water retention, but enough just to get that effect in the muscles, you know, a little more blown out type effect in the muscles. And MPP was even better. Man, I had this one run where I did 700 a week of Primo, 600 a week of MPP, and I want to say it was like 200 a week of test. I can get away with taking my Nandrolone higher than my test. Now, I will say I would have probably felt a little better that run if I went up another 100 to 200 a week on my test. That's the one correction. That's the one thing I want to throw out there is it's very, very different person to person, like what they can get away with and what they feel good on. Once you get to like 600 or 700 a week of Primo, that's when, if you are on TRT, you may find it more beneficial in the way you feel to get the test up another 100, 200 milligrams a week, just because Primo can lower your E2 and it can just kind of have you not really feeling bad from my experience, but not feeling your best. So that's something that I learned from that, is the test does have to come up just a little bit once I get to a certain amount and beyond with Primo balling. But Primo's the shit, man. It's the shit. I know a lot of people say, oh, no, it's too costly, this and that. Well, bodybuilding's my thing, man. You know, I'm not out there spending money at the bar. I'm not blowing my money, you know, golfing or blowing it on cars or, you know, fixing. I'm not into that stuff. Like I said, I do a few things, but I try to do them well. Yeah, I don't care. You know, if a psycho runs me a G, it runs me a G. I mean, it's a lifestyle. I don't look at it like it's not $1,000 lost, because it's a continual thing. I'm not going to quit doing this. It's what I enjoy. It's a lifestyle I like. So I don't look at it like that. You know, now obviously if you're missing a mortgage payment over Primo vials, then probably not a good drug for you to use. But Primo is just really, it's one of those things that when you're running it, you could just keep getting harder and harder. The abs are coming in. You're getting better and better. But the weight loss is not reflecting the diet like most other things or most other fat loss phases. So where people say, oh, you know, I'm down 10 pounds already, or I'm down 20 pounds already. You could have a totally different look, get on the scale, and you still weigh like, you know, 220, 230, or 250 or whatever. You know, similar to what you weighed in the beginning. But it's like, wait a minute, now I'm not retaining the fluid. I am getting lines. I am getting harder. Obviously, you're a hell of a lot damn bigger. That's where the gain comes into play, okay? It's not like traditional cycles where it's like, oh, I started at 220 pounds, and then within 8 weeks, I was up to 240 pounds. It's not like that. It's in the recomp department, it's like, okay, I started my diet, I was 230. 6 weeks in, I'm 230. Maybe I'm 232. But I'm like, I'm down like 5% body fat, 8%, whatever, you know? Maybe not 8. That's kind of far-fetched. Maybe 5, though. You know, 5, you could do that. And I found that cardio was not catabolic like it used to be. Cardio only made me look more muscular. You know, it only accented the muscles more. Everything was coming together. The waist was getting smaller. So, in a way, cardio was almost like, I don't know the right way to say it. Cardio was almost like I was lifting extra weights or something like that. It wasn't the catabolic in nature process that people deem it to be when I was running Primo. It just, I held on to everything. And so, you know, you can imagine if somebody recomps that much and loses that much body fat, well, they step on the scale and they're, you know, down 2 pounds or weighing the same thing, or in maybe some circumstances up 5 pounds. Whole different physique. To me, that's a gain. But a newbie wouldn't look at that like a gain because, A, they don't have the level of development to even fuck with this shit to begin with, okay? If they lost that kind of size, or if they try to lose that kind of body fat, they really wouldn't even look like they lifted at all because, you know, they're toning, but tone, I hate the fucking word tone, but I'm going to use it for this example. They're toning muscles that aren't there, all right? Don't you love hearing that? Don't you love when someone's like, yeah, I don't want to look like you or anything. I'm like, don't worry, you won't. I just want to be toned. It's like they have this idea in their head. They could be like 130 pounds soaking wet. And somehow, if they just get toned, they're going to look really muscular. So you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man. And then I'll say to them, well, the problem is you know, you can't tone muscles you don't have. And they get all offended and shit. Fuck you, man. I'm trying to look like Brad Pitt from Fight Club. I'm sorry, but Brad Pitt in Fight Club wasn't really fucking big. There's crackheads that could rival that shit. You know, crackheads have abs. I'm not jealous of them. But anyway, so that's where Primo really shines. So it's not for someone that's a beginner. It's not for somebody that hasn't built their foundation. I would say for most people, if they've been in the gym anywhere under 5 years consistently, then it probably is not worth it. In that case, you would want to go with something like Equipoise or DECA over Primo. If you're a vet, you've been in the gym a very long time, you built a considerable amount of muscle mass, and now you're just trying to carve the diamond. You're refining the physique. You want to become that bigger and better looking person at the same weight. You know, I don't think people understand that. Like, 200 pounds ripped up, that's a pretty big motherfucker, you know? 220 plus pretty ripped up is fucking huge. To me, it is. I mean, guys back in the day, like Lee Haney, what did Lee Haney take the stage at? 235, 238? And he was like king shit, man, before Dorian Yates. That was a big fucking dude. I don't think people really realize how big it is when it's quality, when it's lean, when the skin looks thin and vascular. And it really just gives you a quality look. It doesn't give you this tired in the face, beat to shit look. It's kind of like, it's just a really, really crisp quality look. I love this shit. I love it. And, you know, is it faked a lot? I think it used to be faked more than it is now. I think it's a lot more mainstream than it is now. You know, people say, oh, now 90% of Primo's fake. I don't know if I agree with that. And guys, don't, please, you send me a fucking email asking me where do I get it or whatever, I'm going to ignore your ass. All right. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a source provider. All right. Do your homework. You're on your own. I'm getting tired of people doing that. I really am. I'm not going to answer you. So those are some things that I like about it. All right. I find that just Primo with tests works great. It works great. Nothing else needed if you're training hard and you're dieting hard. Another thing with it is I do find Primo a little more forgiving if, like, let's say you slip up and have a cheat meal, okay? You know, I used to be able to have a cheat meal, the next day I look fantastic. Now, it might take me 2-3 days to come around. I might have a lot of fluid on me the next day or whatever. It doesn't happen as quick. It's not like, oh, you had a cheeseburger, you look phenomenal. It's not like that. Primo, it seems to be a little more forgiving if you have a cheat meal here or there. It just seems to, I don't know. You just look better. You look more put together or something. Not like you, I don't really know the easiest way to describe it. Like, you don't look like a bloated mess. It is kind of forgiving in that regard. And it is forgiving if, let's say, you fell short on a meal or two. So you have a busy schedule. You run a business. You travel. You don't lose the muscle. You don't catabolize as easy. This is where the shit, like, really fucking shines. You just hold on to it, man. It is like glue for the muscle. It does not want to go away as easy. Anyway, guys, thanks for hanging in there with me and listening to another podcast. I appreciate everybody that's following. Train hard. Remember, you got to block out the bullshit, man. Don't start your day off with the fucking news. We know the world's going to shit. It's crazy out there. Everyone wants to talk about the same shit. You know, they're trying to, maybe not trying too intentionally, but they're derailing you. You can't take your time to focus on that crap. Don't be bothered by the shit you can't change. What you got to do is you got to live in your own world, all right? You got to, like, be like your own fucking superhero, man. And you're just trying to level up on the daily. Focus on your direct world. The people that mean stuff to you. The people that are close to you. The things that matter in your life, like the gym and hitting your meals and trying to live a quality life and still having adventures and hikes and just focus on the closeness, man. You know, focus on what's right in front of your face. You know, take the day at face value. Make it the best day you can. All right. You can't focus on all this other crap that's going on, especially shit you can't control. But that's why I always love bodybuilding. I always love nutrition because it's something I could try to control. In a world that's crazy, it's something like, okay, you know, I got my grasp on this one thing, and this is like the one thing that's holding me together. It's going to keep me going, you know. And as long as I got that, and I don't get derailed, then I'm happy. As long as I can do that, I'm happy, man. You know, you take all the material shit away from me, and I'm going to build it back bigger, stronger, you know? Anyway, you guys be good. Train hard. This is JD. Till next time.